Aloha, my one listener in Hawaii. Love that. Aya pal. Salutations to all, and here we are at bloody hell, episode 3. Episode 3 already. That's about how many episodes of Hollyoaks I watched before I nigh on gouge my own eyes out in protest. I sincerely hope I'm not having a similar effect on you guys. I think clinically I had technically expired. I was brought back from the brink. How thrilled I am for that. As always, I am Aidan, and welcome to John Doe & Co. Tales of True Crime. So, we've done murder, we've done aliens, and now we're moving on to the final piece to the troubling trifecta. Ghosts. Join me as we have a gander at the spectral realm and see what's knocking about there. Be sure to let me know if you guys believe in ghosts as well. I think I'm on board with them. I'm just not entirely sure of their nature. I've always thought maybe they're more echoes in time rather than some sort of semi-sentient spirits, but who knows? I just think stranger things have happened and stranger things are out there. Look at bloody Gary Busey. No offence, Gazza. Nestled in Wootton-under-Edge in Gloucestershire, UK, is the infamous Ancient Ram Inn. The surrounding area is quintessential Cotswold and is really rather beautiful, and I'm not just saying that because it is my home county. Big up the Shire. The village lies in the district of Stroud, which ironically was named the best place to live in the UK last year. Best place to be dead too, apparently. You wouldn't think one of the most notoriously haunted buildings in the UK hides in this quaint little village. Some even say it is the most haunted building in England. Locals are known to cross the road to avoid the spooky vibes, and it's kind of a strange building even before you get to the spooks. It's kind of sloping and uneven, and it looks like it wouldn't survive a stiff breeze. But survive it has, for nearly 1,000 years. The inn is a Grade 2 listed building, and has changed hands many times since it was built in 1145. Yep, 1145. That's bloody donkey's years. That's like two games of snooker when it's being shown on the BBC. This was back when a bloke called William Fitzrobert was the first rector of the town. Don't get names like William Fitzrobert anymore. Wootton-under-Edge was a thriving wool town back in the day that was bypassed slightly in the Victorian era as it was easier to trade with Stroud or Dursley. This meant the town was left slightly in the past with much of its architecture and infrastructure. So, old town, spooky inn, hope you're all playing paranormal bingo. The inn's original use was to house the masons and builders that worked on St Mary's Church across the road. From 1154, it housed the first vicar, Jericus, Jerry to his mates probably. Allegedly, a pagan ritual ground was at the site at around 3000 BC, because of course it was. Another for the bingo. Human sacrifice is said to have taken place here, but this is according to Dowsers, so take that as you will. If you're unfamiliar, Dowsers are not a country band from the 60s. They wander about with rods that sort of move and point and guide them, and they pick up on supernatural energies. They do it to find water sometimes too. Versatile like that. A lot of the town was actually destroyed in a fire during the reign of King John, but the inn survived, weirdly enough. It stands on Potter's Pond, a marshy bit of land with water running through. This water was actually diverted to build the church, and this is said to have opened up a portal for dark energy. The church is built on a ley line. Now, for those that aren't aware, ley lines are mapped lines that stretch between landmarks and historic structures, especially those with spiritual significance or religious locales. Might be used to guide aliens too, apparently. I reckon most Lidl's are on ley lines, to be fair. Have you been to one of their bakeries? Off the head. Anyways, the church is actually connected to Stonehenge via these theoretical lines, which is pretty far out. Also pretty far out is the fact that the inn has the oldest wooden window in Britain. So, something for everyone, really. In 1930, the inn was sold to Maurice de Bath and, as we mentioned, did change hands a few times. By 1965, the inn was losing custom and was already falling into disrepair. Rotting timber and beetle infestations led to patrons seeking other pubs that weren't health hazards, but like, come on, any good pub is dodgy. A pint isn't a pint without a slight chance the roof's going to fall on your head. In fairness as well, the inn was already over 800 years old, so fair play. The last pint was pulled in 1968. Because the place was collapsing as fast as the UK's chance at winning Eurovision, the local council earmarked the place for demolition. For road widening. There literally couldn't be a more boring reason. At least if they were building a bowling alley, you'd be like, sick, love a bit of bowling, let's hope they have an air hockey table. But nah, road just needs to be wider, mate. It was saved in 1968 by John Humphreys, a former train driver, for the princely sum of £2,600. He moved in with his wife and three daughters. A word on John, he seems like a bloody legend. Sadly, he passed away in 2017, so I never had the fortune to meet him, but everyone that met him reports he was lovely, and he just seems like a bloke you could share a pack of Werther's Toffees with and have a chat. The inn had no running water, still doesn't, and was in pretty bad shape at this point. This, coupled with the paranormal activity the place was riddled with, added a lot of pressure to the family dynamic. It's not bloody Malcolm in the Middle in here, mate. John's relationship with his children suffered, as they hated it at the inn, but John wanted to stay put. Bloody hell, Dad, no water, mad ghosts. His family ended up moving out, but John stayed put. On the very first night he stayed there, John was dragged from his bed and across the floor by an unknown entity. John also reported being assaulted almost nightly by a succubus, which is a female sex demon. I think the whole being dragged out of bed and across the floor would have me putting the place on Zoopla, let alone the sex demon. Hard pass, cheers. John actually said he didn't know much about the history of the inn and didn't believe in ghosts when he moved in, but yeah, first night here, he got ghosted. Not in the MTV airing messages way, but more he was trying to get Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd around to deal with the place. There are many reports of ghost sightings and demons alike. Pretty much every type of spirit resides here, from residual hauntings to poltergeists. Upon visiting, a medium reported basically every nasty spookster in every single room. Furniture has reportedly been thrown across rooms or levitated, and footsteps boom through the building at night. This has led to the inn being investigated by many paranormal enthusiasts and many stories becoming famous. John opened it up as a bed and breakfast for people to come and stay. He actually began to stay on the sofa and did so for years, sleeping with a Bible for protection. Not packing a gat, just bare verses. Probably used to lob it at the ghouls, hefty tome to clock them round the head. John would appear in papers with photo evidence of the activity, and you can see a lot of these articles plastered on the windows and framed around the inn. Among these pictures are other very strange artifacts, such as a mummified cat and strange druid relics. Not stuff you can find in the decor section at your local IKEA or HomeSense. The first room you come across when visiting the inn is called the men's kitchen, which, like, I love, because dars and misogynists everywhere, their brains just melt. Men's kitchen. This is reportedly where the pagan ritual and burial ground is. In 1997, John gave permission for a crew to excavate this area, and the bones of a woman and baby were found. It was concluded they were murdered, potentially part of a ceremony. The sound of a crying baby has been heard in the area. A ghostly cavalier also appears by the table and strides across the room, vanishing through a wall. The ghost hunter who found the remains during the excavation actually suffered a car accident on the way home. Luckily, non-fatal. Now, this is creepy, but to be fair, what a day they had. This could have been down to just being knackered or slightly distracted, they found the bones of an infant earlier. Just another Monday at the ancient Ram Inn. A staircase near this room was the site where the bones of children were found underneath the stairs. They were found with the daggers used to kill them. This may be why many visitors report screaming or crying children late at night. When people use these stairs, some have said they have been pushed up or down them by an invisible force. No elevator at the inn. Understandable, but annoying. A photograph taken by the stairs in June 1999 showed a human-like shape of white mist ascending the stairs. Because John is an absolute diamond, he used to go to charity shops to buy toys and teddies for the children's spirits to play with. Very sweet, but bloody creepy to see all these dolls gawping at you at night. What's that I hear you say? You want more creepy child ghosts? Alright then, if you insist. The attic of the inn holds an intense and oppressive atmosphere. In the 1500s, a little girl named Rosie, who was the daughter of an innkeeper, is said to have been murdered here and hanged from the ceiling. At night, guests below report something heavy being dragged across the floor. This attic is also where highwaymen reportedly hid whilst on the lam. Some pretty bloody gnarly energy going on then. Other spirits knocking about include a high priestess who surprises people in the rooms they're staying in late at night. It's unclear if she is the form of the succubus or a different entity altogether, but wouldn't be all too surprising in this veritable variety pack of ghosts and ghoulies. A Roman centurion has even been seen on his horse. A plumber working at the inn was doing his plumber stuff when he was startled by the sight of the centurion on his horse galloping towards him, charging through a wall. Might have undersold that with startled. He was bloody taken aback by the ghost horseman, all right? Witnesses have heard the blood-curdling screams of a man who was supposedly killed by having his head thrust in a fire. Just, ow, is all I can say. Wonder why they got so hot-headed. Here all week. A famous spectre that lives in the inn is the witch. She fled from government-sanctioned witch hunters and took refuge in the inn. What a thing to put on your LinkedIn. Government-sanctioned witch hunter. Unfortunately, this woman, thought to be a witch by some intellectually challenged individuals, was found and burned at the stake, along with her cat. Rubbish enough they burned her, but they did it to the cat as well. Can't blame her spirit for being a bit peeved off. She apparently lashes out and scratches guests. The room she stayed in is known as the Witch's Room, imaginatively enough. On the first floor of the inn is the most haunted room, called the Bishop's Room. A medium opening the door to enter was yeeted across the hallway, so before you even get in, you might get accosted by a spectre. The room itself is incredibly dark in atmosphere, and is said to be haunted by up to 9 spirits. Dark monks gather in the corners, and a shepherd with his dog appears in a doorway. A woman also hangs from the ceiling. Great laughs to be had in this room. Guests who stay in this room have been attacked by the succubus and woken with scratches and bruises. Some have even jumped from the window in the middle of the night in order to escape. 8 people who have slept here have had to be exorcised, and not taken to the gym, you know, like the priest type of exercise. I wonder if you can get, like, exorcism insurance. Like, as a venue, my guests keep getting possessed, I need insurance. Nightmare. So what of the inn nowadays? As I mentioned, John sadly passed away in December 2017. His daughter Caroline now owns the inn and has essentially stepped into her father's shoes. You can still go on tours of the inn and hire it out for private functions. Great day out for all the family. Caroline has done a decent amount of work to the inn to keep it in as good a condition as can be. Props to Caroline, to be fair, as she obviously was traumatised by the place when she was a kid, but still came back. She also had to stay there with her partner whilst they waited for their new property to be ready to move in. During this day, she kept tarot cards in a wooden box in a cabinet next to the bed. The cabinet was thrown down the stairs by an unseen force in the middle of the night. She immediately fled, despite the fact she had nowhere else to go. Even though she isn't religious, she will not enter the inn without wearing her cross. During the pandemic, the inn has had a tough time without the ability to host tours and such. That being said, it looks like they're back on from July of this year, and they appear to be selling out, so good on them. If you're into the paranormal and hunting ghosts, there's not really anywhere better to go to have a good time. Just be careful and avoid ghost children and sex demons. Typical advice for life, really. So, there we go. That was the Ancient Ram Inn. Like I said, I'm not entirely sure about ghosts or their nature, but if a place is going to be haunted, it's definitely here. My Instagram and Twitter would love a follow at John Doe & Co Pod. Rate, review and subscribe on your podcasting app. And if you have a spare bit of dosh and you're super generous, head on over to Patreon at patreon.com/JohnDoeAndCoPod and donate. Bonuses will be abound and I've got some wicked stuff planned should I get enough pledges, so please give it a think. I will even say your name on an episode. All the syllables? Maybe the correct pronunciation? It would mean a lot, and thank you so much. Feel free to DM me any suggestions for future episodes, as always, or if you just want to chat. Next episode is going to be a bit more fun and light-hearted, with a mystery that was only solved relatively recently. A real-life treasure hunt. Be sure to keep an eye out for next week's episode, The Fickle Forest Fen and his fiendish fortune. I hope to see you there. Thanks for being such good company. Peace out.